morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
God is faithful. I hope that you find him faithful. It is good to see you here this morning. We just saw that video from World Mission, and it's a reminder that we are in the next month trying to fill up 150 of those change boxes. And so if you haven't taken one home yet, we have plenty out there. Take one home. And if you've already filled yours up, good, start on box number two, okay? Here's what happens when we fill up one of those change jars and we give it to World Mission. They are able to purchase a solar-powered audio Bible. That solar-powered audio Bible is then given to a group of people that cannot read, that don't really have an opportunity to learn to read. They live in villages, and that solar-powered audio Bible will reach, in the first year that it's out, 144 people. And so if we are able to fill up 150 of those, that means we can reach 21,000 people. So, pretty easy way to reach 21,000 people with the good news of the gospel through God's word. So, I want to encourage you, pick one up at the welcome, at the in the lobby, and be part of this awesome thing. We are going to collect those the third Sunday in February. So we have a few weeks here to get on board and get these things filled up. All right, if you're here with us visiting this morning, we want to say welcome. It's good to have you here. If you're visiting with us and you haven't received a visitor card, we want to get one of those in your hand so we could have a record of your visit with us. So if you're here this morning visiting, if you could just slip your hand up in the air so our ushers could get a card to you. Right down front here, Lloyd. Joel, right back in the very back there in the center. All right. This morning we also have some baptisms, and I'm excited about the baptisms. And if you, I know that the people that are being baptized this morning, we have a few kids that are getting baptized. They are awesome. You know that? And it's awesome to see them wanting to express their faith. And so I'm looking forward to this morning. Just a couple of announcements that aren't in your bulletin. First of all, the Joyce small group that meets at Pat and Karen Joyce's house. Pat is really sick, so there will be no small group tonight there. And then I have a note here from Gordon Cross and his family. It says, thank you, 12th Street, for all your prayers and cards you sent. Thank you also to the ones who prepared the meal. For all of you are special to us. Thank you again, Polly Cross and family. So they do express their thanks for all that you have done. Today, following the morning service, ladies, there's a shower, baby shower for Alana Stout. Keep that in mind. We are looking for volunteers for Upward Basketball that would like to share a 3 to 5 minute testimony, all right? And we have 6 slots available every Saturday. And so if you would be willing to help with that, there's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center, and it's an awesome opportunity for you to share what God's done in your life, how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That would be great. Or if you have a great story of something God's done with you, it would be great to share that. The early sessions in the morning, we have probably close to 150 people in the gym for that time. And then as the day goes on, it gets a little bit lighter. It's a great opportunity. So I'd like to encourage you, please sign up at the Welcome Center. We'd love to have our church family just sharing what God is doing, and it'll be a great blessing. Youth group today is going to be practicing for their mystery dinner that they're going to be hosting in March. And so just want to make all of them aware to be at that practice. And then youth group meets tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. And for the rest of the announcements, go ahead and read your bulletins for those. I have some keys here that somebody left. A yellow mustache key. That should give it away. If you lost your keys, there's a yellow mustache key. And I know all about losing keys because this morning I had no keys to come to church. And I left them in my wife's purse last night. So when she took off this morning before I did, I didn't have any keys. And so the first thing Rachel asked me when I got to church this morning is, are you thriving? because I had to bum a ride from Ray. And good accountability there, right? Because this year in 2016, 12th Street, we've been given the license to thrive, right? And and we should all be able to say, I have learned in every situation that I am in to be content. I know how to be low and how to thrive. I am instructed to be full and hungry, to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So, 12th Street, let's thrive. So whoever lost your keys, come see me during the meet and greet. Actually, they're going to be right up here on the at the front so you can get your keys. Let's pray here together. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can thrive because you are a great God. And our life circumstances never dictate to us what an awesome God we have and what you want to accomplish in us. I thank you, Lord, for those who are being baptized this morning. I thank you that they have come to know you as their Lord and Savior. I pray that as they get baptized, that it would be an encouragement to all of us that we have a God who is at work. We have a God who is doing amazing things. And you're doing it both in children and adults' lives. And I thank you, Lord, for obedience. Every single one of us here this morning have an opportunity to live in obedience or, Lord, to do our own thing. I pray that we would choose obedience this morning and allow for you to do your wonderful work. So now to you, God, we want all the glory and praise to be given your way because you are the great God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, let's go ahead and make our way back to our seats this morning and remain standing. We're going to start with Forever Rain. You are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you are hope, you have covered all my sins. You are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, you are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting. Oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light up. More, here. In your presence I'm made whole. You are God, you are God. Of all else I'm letting go. Oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running. As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to say but your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save. Just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain, Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
You may be seated.
All three of our babies, when they were little babies, that's how we rocked them to bed at night, by singing, Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. It's a great song. Well, this morning we have a great privilege of, we have five that are getting baptized this morning. And just to let you know before they come into the water and get baptized, none of them are earning their salvation this morning. All of them have already trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And what they're doing this morning is making a public statement of their faith. They have trusted Jesus Christ. They believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again from the grave. And they know that their life in Christ, that he's taken their sin on the cross, he's buried their sin, and they're a new person in Jesus. And so that's why they're getting baptized this morning. So, Austin, come on down here. First off, we have Austin Gilbert. He is the son of Luke and Missy Gilbert. And Austin, why don't you tell us how you trusted Jesus Christ?
It was on 2014 at Good News Club. I didn't know Jesus, and then I came back with the person who was running Good News Club, and then I knew who Jesus.
All right. Tell you, every children's ministry, Good News Clubs, and everything that we do to share Christ, we never know. And so, Austin, at that Good News Club, you trusted Jesus as your Savior?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that you're on your way to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Go ahead and step down from that. All right, and Austin, based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. All right, let's pray here for Austin. Lord, I thank you for Austin. I thank you for his faith in you. I pray that you'll be with Luke and Missy as they raise him, that they would continue to direct him towards the truth. And Lord, I pray that we as a church would come alongside them as well and provide Austin every opportunity to grow in his faith in you. Thank you, Lord, for his step of obedience this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, go this way, buddy. Austin. This way. He likes the water. All right. And next we have Austin's brother. Come on, Liam. All right. This is Liam. It's a little warm. All right, Liam, here, put your hands in there so you can feel. All right. Liam, do you want to tell us about when you trusted Jesus Christ?
In 2015, and at the and I didn't know him. Then I did because of the people at Run Good News Club. And my mom also did the other thing I need to do.
All right. And the thing that you needed to do, did you pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart?
I knew.
You knew. All right. That's awesome. And so, Liam, is Jesus in your heart today?
Yep.
And you've trusted him as your Savior?
Yep.
That's awesome. So, Liam, based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Go ahead and stand up on this. All right, Liam, stay right here. Right here, we're going to pray for you, okay? Lord, I thank you for Liam, for his faith in you. Thank you, Lord, that he's trusted you and he's been baptized today. I pray that you'd be with Luke and Missy as they raise Liam, that he would continue to grow in his faith and in his knowledge of you. And Lord, we just thank you that we as a church can come alongside them and aid them. So now, Lord, just continue to help them develop and grow. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, next, we have Arabella Garcia. All right, Arabella. There so they can see you good. Oh, you don't have to stand on the top. All right. Arabella, why don't you tell us about how you trusted Jesus?
One night, I went to my mom's bed and I told my mom that I trusted in Jesus. And me and my mom prayed.
That's awesome. You know, you've heard it at church a lot, haven't you? And at VBS. Just one night, you just went to talk to your mom and said, I want to trust Jesus, right? That's pretty awesome. I don't know if any greater joy for a parent than to pray with your child in trusting Jesus. So, Arabella, do you know that you're on your way to heaven?
Yes.
That's awesome. Arabella, based upon your profession of faith, go ahead and step down. I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Lord, I thank you for Arabella, and I thank you for her faith in you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be with John and April as they raise her, that she would have the ability to trust you through their example, and also, Lord, that we as a church would give her the encouragement that she needs to continue to grow in her faith. Thank you for this great step of obedience today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good job, Arabella. Next, we have Grace Headley. Grace, I think you're tall enough. All right, Grace. Why don't you tell us how you trusted Jesus as your Savior?
When me and my grandma were
at my house. I didn't know what was going to happen at night. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. So then I talked to my mom, and then we prayed.
All right. And when you talked to your mom, you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty awesome. Grace, do you know that Jesus is in your heart? And Grace, based upon that profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Grace, let's pray here together. Lord, I thank you for Grace. I pray that you would be with Amanda and with Jason, that you would give them great wisdom as they raise Grace. Thank you, Lord, for her faith in you and her profession of faith this morning. I pray, Lord, that we as a church would give Jason and Amanda every aid that we can in helping them to help Grace become a lady who fears God and serves her with her life. And so, Lord, just thank you for her obedience this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, and now we have Mary Priest. And Mary, why don't you share your testimony?
Well, I used to come to church with my great-grandmother, and I made the choice to stray away. And thanks to my grandmother, she showed me that this is what I needed to do, and I asked her how to go about it, and she sent me to pastor, and we prayed together, and felt freed after that.
All right. And last Sunday morning after the service, Mary came to me and she said that she wanted to trust Jesus as her Savior. And it was pretty awesome. And she's obeying the Lord right away, which is a good thing to do. So, Mary, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
And it's yours now?
Yes.
Amen. So, Mary, based upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Lord, I thank you for Mary. I pray that you would just encourage her in her walk with you. Thank you for the step of faith that she's showing. Thank you, Lord, that the faith is no longer great-grandma and grandma's, that it's hers. And Lord, that you have given it to her. So now, Lord, help her to grow. Help her to continue to take steps of obedience towards you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And it's been done as the Lord has commanded, and yet there is room.
Jesus.
judge and our defender, suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Oh, descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three.
Thank you, Philip and Michael. What a great song to play right after baptism, right? Because that's what we believe. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And as the children head out to Children's Church, I forgot an announcement. The youth group is selling sub sandwiches. They're the Super Bowl sub sandwiches sale. And there are 2 weeks before... 2 weeks left to purchase the subs, so make sure you stop out there in the lobby and see Autumn Lewis, and this is a fundraiser to help them with their missions trip that they take every year for Life Changers in Detroit. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to look at one verse in chapter 37 and then go quickly over to Genesis chapter 39. But Genesis chapter 37, and as you're turning there, a husband and wife had been married for 60 years, and they had no secrets between them except for one. The woman kept in her closet a shoebox that she never allowed her husband to open. But when she was on her deathbed with her blessing, he opened the box and found a crocheted doll and $95,000 in cash. My mother told me that the secret to a happy marriage was to never argue, she explained. Instead, I should keep quiet and crochet a doll. Her husband was touched. Only one doll was in the box. That meant she'd been angry with him only once in 60 years. But what about all the money, he asked. Oh, she said, that's the money I made from selling the dolls. Genesis chapter 37, and let's look at verse 36. It says, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Let me review what's taken place so far. Joseph grew up in the household of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons with four different mothers. And Joseph was his favorite son. And so Joseph gave him a coat of many colors. Joseph wore this coat proudly. He had two dreams. He shared them with his brothers. And those dreams were that they would bow down and worship him. And they thought, brother, you're crazy. Well, Joseph was sent by his father to go check on his brothers who were 60 miles away feeding the animals in a land in a city called Shechem. When he got there, the brothers weren't there. And he was told that they were in Dothan, which was 12 more miles away. And Joseph went to Dothan. Well, while he was on his way to Dothan, they saw him. They said, let's kill him. Reuben said, no, don't kill him. Let's put him in a pit. So they put him in a pit. While Reuben was gone, Judah said, let's not kill him, but let's sell him. And so they sold their brother to a traveling band of merchants. And they sold him for the equivalent of about $281. A small price to pay for a life. And so Joseph now is in the care of these traveling merchants. And here in chapter 37, verse 36, we're told that they sell him. They travel to Egypt. So if you go from Dothan to Egypt, it's somewhere between 240 and 280 miles. Long trek when you're walking. And so he walks this long journey with these men that he's just been sold to, only to be sold again to a man named Potiphar. Now, Potiphar was an officer. The Bible says that that Hebrew word used there for officer is a word that is also translated as eunuch in some places. And that word eunuch doesn't necessarily mean someone who's been castrated. That word eunuch can mean someone who just is a close attendant to the ruler. And I believe that's who Potiphar is. I don't believe he was a eunuch. He had a wife. There are eunuchs in history that had wives, but I believe that Potiphar was just a high-ranking officer, and so it's translated here, officer of Pharaoh's, and captain of the guard. Now, as captain of the guard, he would carry out the king's justice and the king's judgment. He would do so by taking the life of any the king deemed worthy of having their life taken, and he would do so by causing war to take place on behalf of the king for any battles that need to be fought. Potiphar was a military extension of Pharaoh. So then go to chapter 39 and verse 1. And it says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. So now, let's just put ourselves in Joseph's place for a moment. He's been sold by his brothers. They took his coat of many colors, ripped it up, put blood on it, and said, a wild animal has killed him. He's had to walk about 280 miles as a slave, prisoner, because his brothers sold him. How many of us would start to point our finger at God, wave our head at God, and shake our fist at God? Because when those circumstances come to us, most times we don't thrive. Most times we fail. Joseph has gone from being favored in his father's house to not knowing what the next moment of his life may bring. And then instantly he's sold, after he travels 280 miles walking, sold to an Egyptian captain of the guard. But here is something about Joseph that we all need to take to heart. Joseph did not let his circumstances bring him down. Look at the very next verse, verse 2 in Genesis 39. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Whew. Just because things don't go right in your life, just because you experience hardship, that does not mean that God has left you. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord has promised. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. The Lord has promised that he will always be with us. And somehow during Joseph's upbringing, he had learned this about God, and he trusts in the Lord. And here's what God does. He makes him prosperous. And I know, if you're like me, you're thinking, he's a slave and he's prosperous? Come on, that doesn't make any sense. How can he be a slave and be prosperous? Well, let me tell you how. He was good with God. That made him prosperous. No matter what happens in your life, if you and God are good, you will be prosperous. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Now, how does anyone see that the Lord is with us? Well, we talk about why we do the things we do. And they see the blessing of God on our life, and then they see the good that we do. They put two and two together, and they see that the hand of the Lord is with us. And then it says, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. We've seen now in two verses this idea of being prosperous associated with Joseph. The man is a slave, and he's prosperous. I think that tells each one of us, no matter what your occupation, no matter what station of life you are in, you can be prosperous in the Lord. Verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. Joseph didn't stand up against the master and say, oh, I was a favorite son in my dad's house. I'm not going to work for you. No, Joseph served Potiphar. He did all he could to make Potiphar's household, Potiphar's life successful. And he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. So now Potiphar, as Joseph serves him, says, I'm going to entrust you with everything. You are now the household manager. You're going to manage my business. You're going to manage my house. And then read this next verse. It's incredible. Verse 5, and it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So now not only is Joseph successful, Potiphar is successful. Now all of you that own businesses, you want Joseph's to work for you. Right? You want a Joseph to work for you because everything that Joseph touched turned to gold. And not just for his own purposes, but for his boss's purposes. If you're an employee, you should want to see your employer succeed. You should want your boss to succeed. Because when you succeed, they succeed. And how can this happen? When the hand of God is behind you. When the hand of God is on you. And now, this next part is incredible. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. So everything that Potiphar had, everything in his household, everything out in the field, it all was just prospering. Everything is just growing leaps and bounds. His portfolio was the envy of Egypt. Verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he didn't even know what he had, except for the bread that he did eat. He trusted Joseph so much, he didn't keep track of what Joseph did with his stuff. He would sit down to eat, and there was bread in front of him. There was meat in front of him, and he would eat. And that's all he knew that he had, because he trusted Joseph so much. How do you go from being a slave that was bought? We're not told how much Potiphar paid for Joseph. But Potiphar bought him at a slave auction. And now he's trusting the slave with everything that he owns. The last part of verse 6 says, and Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Okay? Let me take a little dive into Hebrew here. It means he was a good-looking guy that was pleasant to the eyes. Okay? He was a good-looking guy, pleasant to the eyes. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Probably not like that, you know. Probably with a little more emphasis and enthusiasm. Verse 38, but he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, my master does not know what is with me in the house. He's committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He didn't say sin against Potiphar. He says sin against God. Verse 10, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not to her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled from there, she called to the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he has brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. She spoke to him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which you have brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spoke to him, saying, after this manner did the servant do to me, that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him, put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. And by the way, the next verse is going to tell us God was with Joseph, and Joseph prospered. Okay? But we're going to look at that next week. I want to look at this word prosper. What does it mean to prosper? In our English language, it means to succeed in material terms, to be financially successful, or to flourish physically, grow strong and healthy. And the synonyms in the English language for prosper are flourish or thrive. If you look in the Hebrew, this word prosper, exact same idea as it has in the English. But if you're going to look at an English parallel for that word prosper, it is to thrive. See, sometimes when we think of prosper, we think of getting rich and we think of being healthy and things going our way. But see, to prosper isn't necessarily to get rich. To prosper isn't necessarily to have life go your way. To prosper is to know why you are living and what you are living for. And to prosper means, no matter what life throws at you, you thrive in the circumstance. God caused Joseph to thrive. When it, in verse 2 and verse 3, when it says Joseph was prosperous and he prospered, it simply means Joseph thrived. And there was an impact on Joseph thriving. The first impact we see is that God was with him. If Joseph goes to Egypt and he pouts the whole trip, and he shakes his fist at God, and he says, boy, Dad did not know what he was talking about when he taught me about Jehovah, then Joseph will not prosper. But you see, God was with him. There are two components to God being with us. First of all, God is always with us. The second component, we have to acknowledge him with us. And Joseph was willing to do that, even though he's a slave. God was with him, but he acknowledged, God is with me. Secondly, he was God-made, not self-made. You ever heard of a self-made man, self-made woman, self-made millionaire? Have you ever heard that? Joseph was God-made. All of his success, all of the thriving that will take place in his life will take place because God made him. He did not make himself. Thirdly, God made his master's household to thrive. This is the impact of Joseph thriving. His master's household thrived. And fourthly, God made his master's field, that's his garden, his livestock, the business products, that all thrived. You know, there are times in life where we'll get to see some of this. We'll get to experience it. One of my bosses, his last name was Grinwald, and his father owned several car dealerships, and he gave each one of his sons a car dealership. And when I was in college, I worked for Terry. And Terry, when he hired me, he's just like, you know, just keep things clean, do an oil change when I tell you, deliver cars when I tell you. And after I'd worked there a while, he'd call me up and he'd say, hey, I need you to come and do something at my house. So I was in his house all the time. Eventually, I had a key to his house so that I could get in and do whatever I needed to do because he'd be calling me up all the time. And so he and his brother had a contest. They both had a dealership right there in Watertown, Wisconsin. And they had a contest. They were going to see who could turn over the most profit in a year, okay? They were very competitive guys. And so they're having this competition. I'll never forget, it was around Christmas, so it's at the end of the year of the competition. He invites me to go to the work party, and he wants me to pray at the work party. And that's a really great honor. It was a very cool opportunity. So, like, yeah, I'll do that. And I'll never forget Terry telling me, he says, I believe one of the reasons that we beat my brother this year is because God is behind your work. You know how humbling that was? You know how scary that is? But that's what God wants us to show. So I got to pray at this. Yep. To me, the greatest thing about praying is I can share the gospel with all those people, and they have to sit there and listen and be quiet. Because if they don't, they're going to get fired. So, what an awesome opportunity. And I did. I prayed. I prayed the gospel. I prayed for the success of Grinwald Ford, and I prayed for the success of Grinwald Chevy, that God would bless those two different companies and help them to continue to be prosperous and to grow. And, you know, it's an awesome thing to be able to ask God's favor on a business. Because I do believe that God, one of the ways he will show himself is he will prosper us, but the prospering that we experience will be seen by those above us. Joseph knew how to tap into some extraordinary power. I want to know how to tap into this power. Don't you? I want to know how to have this prospering to be true in my life. I want to thrive. Let's look at what the power of God did. Here's what the power of God did. It gave a slave honor with the wealthy. Think about that. A slave had honor with the wealthy, so much so, the slave ran the man's life. Some kind of power to turn that relationship. This power turned a slave into a manager. This power gave Joseph the strength to avoid spoiling his morality. See, as Joseph climbed the chain at the home, and by household here, we're talking about a man, he's the captain of the guard. There are several slaves, servants in his house. There are several that work for this man, keep his fields. And Joseph has climbed the ranks, and he didn't let it go to his head. Instead, his relationship with God stayed pure, because when it came time for his morality to be brought into question, he would not spoil his morality. And then fourthly, this power gave Joseph the strength to be willing to go to jail rather than sin against God. Now, I've told you throughout this whole account, we need to keep track of Joseph's clothing. So, he went last week from coat of many colors to naked, right? Now we see him go from slave garment to manager of the household. How did you know they didn't have name badges? How did you know who was who and where they ranked in the house? Oftentimes, it was by their clothing. It was by either a color that they would wear or a outer garment that they would be given, kind of like a cape, but not exactly like a cape. And that was kind of the identification of how you knew where they stood in rank in the household. Joseph's coat is what got him in trouble, right? Got him in trouble with his brothers, gets him in trouble again because she grabs his coat. She's able to hold that as evidence. It's not like everybody else's. She's able to hold on to that and say to Potiphar, when Potiphar comes home, this is Joseph's coat. Yep, I know that's Joseph's coat. And that's what gets him in trouble. So again, we find now Joseph in a new change of clothes. Now he's in prison clothes. I don't know, what would you rather be in, slave clothes or prison clothes? In that culture, slave clothes. He could flourish as a slave. He could gain honor. Now he's a prisoner. Accused of attempted rape when he did nothing morally wrong. But here's the thing about Joseph. The power that was within him, the power of God in him, gave him the strength to be willing to go to jail rather than sin against God. And I love how Joseph put it to Potiphar's wife. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You see, our morality is not something that's just ours. Our morality does not belong solely to me. My morality does not only belong to me and my wife. My morality is me, my wife, and God. And my morality to God is valuable. And your morality to God is valuable. And some of us are selling our morality. We're giving it away. We're casting it aside. We're treating it like it's some kind of usable and reusable cheap product. But our morality is precious. And God, he is interested in what we do with it. Joseph, he would not soil his morality. He kept himself clean because he would not sin against God. I want this power. Don't you? I want this to be true in my life. All these things we've looked at, the effects of the power in us and what this power accomplishes. So how do we get this? Real quickly, three things. Here's how we get this. Number one, embrace hardship. Embrace hardship. Hardship did not cause him to lose faith. It grew his faith. What does hardship do to you? Does it cause you to lose your faith or does it grow your faith? Embrace hardship. Secondly, don't direct your disappointment toward God. God did not sell him into the hand of the traveling merchants. His brothers did. He was mad at his brothers. We'll read about that later. And rightfully so. But he was not mad at God. Don't direct your disappointment toward God. In James chapter 1, in verses 3 and 4, it says, knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Joseph is a slave at the bottom of the totem pole in Potiphar's house, was perfect and complete. He wanted nothing. Because the trying of his faith was only growing patience in him. And he let patience have its work. We don't know how long it took him to rise to the top of the ranks in Potiphar's house, but he did. And it's because he was willing to embrace the hardship. Secondly, invest more of yourself in the Lord when you feel empty. Joseph didn't say, oh God, you've taken everything from me. I can't give anything back to you. No, instead, Joseph made sure that everything he did was done well. And when he did it, he made sure God got the glory for it. So when you feel like you're running on empty, that's not the time to say, I don't have time for you, God. That's the time to say, I need you more, God. When you're running on empty, that's the time that you say, all right, God, everything that I have, everything that I am, I'm going to continue to sell out for you. And thirdly, refuse evil even when it seems to be the only thing that can satisfy. There's nobody home. The master's gone away on business. The wife every day is asking Joseph to have an affair with her. And if he at any moment lets his guard down, if he at any moment allows for the pride to seep in, for him to say, wow, things are going well. I think I deserve this. I think that I've earned this. Because you know, that's how we as human beings, every single one of us in here, we're addicted. Did you know that? We're all addicts. You say, I am not an addict. You're an addict. You know what you're an addict to? Yourself. I am an addict to myself. We all are. And when we let our guard down, here's what an addict does. An addict, when they've been doing well for a long time, they say, I deserve whatever the substance is that they're an addict for. But I've done so well for so long, I've earned this. And you know what? As human beings, here's what we do. We say, I've done so well for God for so long, and I'm not seeing the results that I want. It's okay if I just this one time do this. You know, it's the attitude of the addict. And as a human being, our tendency is to say, I'm going to satisfy myself with whatever it is. And if we want this power to be alive in us, we have to learn how to refuse the evil rather than satisfy ourselves. You can't even let it rattle around in your mind. I imagine Joseph stayed away from her as much as possible. So how did it get to the place where she grabbed his coat? I don't know. But when she got hold of his coat, the Bible says he fled, F-L-E-D. He ran. He got out of town. You can't can't even let it rattle around in your mind. Even what is going on in your mind needs to be protected. You say, well, I don't do the things that I think about. I just think about them. No. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In Job 31:1, Job said this. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Don't even let these things rattle around in your mind. Thriving can be difficult because life is not easy. And then we're told that if any man be in Christ, we're told he's a new creature, old things pass away, all things become new, and we're excited about that. But we seem to go through struggles spiritually. And then we're told that when we're in Christ, that we will suffer persecution. And we're told that we are going to face adversity because of Christ in us. And so thriving can seem to just be really, really difficult. Because when we think of prosper, we think everything goes my way. And here's what God wants you to take away this morning. He wants you to understand, you will face hardship. You're not going to get the job you want sometimes. You're not going to get the promotion you want. You're not going to get the pay that you want. You're not going to get the perks that you want. Sometimes you get life. And there are times that you'll be mistreated. You'll be mistreated by people that you think are good people, your friends. One of the hard things that I had to go through, I was ending being a youth pastor at a church. The pastor had left. I was filling in for him. They asked me to candidate, and I was thinking about candidating as a senior pastor when a couple in the church went to the board and they said, Thad has been stealing money. I was like, oh, my goodness. I said, well, how have I been stealing money? And they went through and they were at a youth activity where I paid for the event out of my own pocket, but I also collected money from the kids. And somehow they thought in that process I had charged the kids more money than what the event cost, and they thought that I pocketed the money. The reality is we were at Cedar Point. I paid for a lot of the money out of my own pocket. I didn't make any money. I lost money on it. But they didn't see it. They thought I stole money. So we sat down. We had the books all opened up. The treasurer of the church went through all the accounting for it and showed the reality of the situation. And the couple just said, well, we don't believe it. We don't care what numbers you show us. We know what we think. And it was hard at the time. It was beaten down on me because I thought, you're questioning the integrity. With finances, I try to be as open and transparent and not allow anything to even be questioned. And it just really hurt. And so as we were meeting, I said, okay, you know what? If I let that appearance be there, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And they said, we can't forgive you. Now the nice thing about it is the leadership, they came alongside and they said, listen, you're wrong. You didn't steal anything. Okay, but having that accusation brought, it was difficult. And trying to thrive in that situation, especially when the next week we're doing a remote youth group activity at guess whose house? So you know what you want to do? You want to cancel, right? Say, I'm not working with you. That's not thriving. You know what I had to do for the last few months that I was there? I had to love that couple. I had to treat them with respect. And you know what God does in those situations? God takes care of the details. And so whatever struggle, whatever turmoil that you're going through, God wants you to succeed. Embrace the hardship. And make sure that you refuse evil. Because your God can do some amazing things. He did for Joseph. And Joseph's God is my God. Joseph's God is your God too. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, even though Joseph went through hardship because of other people's choices and other people's sin, you were with him and you caused him to prosper. I pray, Lord, that we would thrive like Joseph. Give us, Lord, the ability to do so. And Lord, we know that there is no ability to thrive in this life without Jesus in our life. And so I pray for any here who have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, they cannot thrive until they know you, because, Lord, we cannot trust you. We cannot have you help us. You are not with us until we have surrendered our will and our life to you. So, Lord, if any here have never put their faith and trust in Jesus as their Savior, you died on the cross for them so that they could be saved. You gave your life for them so that they could never have to face the penalty for their sin. And Lord, I pray that right now in this moment that they would just say, Lord God, I need you to save me. Please save me. And you are a faithful and just God. You will forgive and you will save. And Lord, for the Christian this morning that is not thriving, Lord, it's not your fault they're not thriving. It's theirs. And so, Lord, help us to fall before your graces this morning. Allow you to do your wonderful work, because we know that Jesus paid it all so that we could have life in you. Thank you for your wonderful gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be standing at the front. I'd love to talk to you about trusting the Lord Jesus. And if God has spoken to your heart and you are a Christian but you're not thriving, hey, just come and do business with God. He wants you to thrive. Let's stand together as we sing, Jesus Paid It All.
Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's bond and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, washed it white as snow.
She actually was baptized 2 weeks ago, and somehow, she came forward to remind me, so that's good. So, all in favor, if we could have a motion to accept Kathy into our church membership, we have a first, a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Kathy, welcome to 12th Street, and go ahead and go to the back, and we'll extend the right hand of fellowship. For all of our members, we're going to have, we have a quick business meeting that we need to have. We will start it in 10 minutes, okay? It'll be very, very quick, but there's a quick meeting that we need to have to discuss one item. So let's pray together. Lord God, as we go from here and we go out to do your business in this world, I pray that our employers, our employees, our bosses, that, Lord, that our efforts for God will make them prosperous. God, help us as a church to thrive. In that wonderful name of Jesus, the name above all names, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great week.
Lord.